Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time for us just to be in your presence and to gather and to pray together. As we look into your word, God, we are just opening our hearts to you and say, Holy Spirit, speak to us, minister to us, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive truth that can change us. For your word says you know the truth and the truth will make you free. Father God, help us to know the truth so that we can walk into liberty and the freedom of it. And you can be glorified and others can be helped. And that's our goal in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, we're in our series on the 8 keys to a blessed life. We're talking about and looking at the Beatitudes, the 8 Beatitudes. The word happy in the Bible, the word blessed in the Bible means to be happy. How many of you want to be happy in life? Amen. And one way to be happy is to walk in the truths that we learn about through the Beatitudes that Jesus taught. So today we're in the 4th Beatitude, Matthew 5, verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Now, what's interesting, if you look at the word filled there in other translations, some of your translations may have it translated this way. It says they'll be satisfied. And other translations say fulfilled. Amen. How many of you want to have a satisfied, fulfilled life? Raise your right hand, as Ron would say, right? No. If you want to have a fulfilled life, a satisfied life, you're going to have to do something. How many of you know these things just don't happen, right? There's things that we have to do. And one of the things that the Bible says we have to do, he says, you're going to be happy, you're going to be fulfilled if you will hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, righteousness is a big word, amen, in the Bible, and it's kind of a theological word, and many times people use that word, and it's used hundreds and hundreds of times throughout Scripture, but we really don't understand what it means. And so I want to first break down what righteousness is before we start talking about how in the world does God make me righteous? And then how in the world can I sustain living a life where I'm hungry and thirsty for God all the time? And so we want to talk about those things this morning. So let's start with breaking down what righteousness is. Number one, righteousness is a relationship. Amen? It's a relationship. Righteousness simply means being right with God. That's a simple definition. It means being right with God. A little bit longer definition, it means being able to stand in the presence of God without a sense of sin, guilt, fear, or inferiority. Amen? When God declares you to be righteous, it means that you have a right to be in relationship with Him, in fellowship with Him. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, for in it, that is the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So the gospel, God's word, is where righteousness is revealed to us. It's where we learn about how we can have a relationship with God, right? That's revealed to us in God's word. The second thing about righteousness is that it is also not just a relationship, it's a lifestyle. Righteousness is a lifestyle. And it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So if you know that God is righteous, then anyone who will live for God, walk for God, will live in a right attitude, right relationship with Him. Amen? So he's saying here that if you know that God is righteous, God is expecting us to live right. Come on. You see, in the church today, what we do is we decide what society says is right, and then we live that way. Right? But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this is what God says is right. And if society agrees, wonderful. If society doesn't agree, then society is wrong, not God. We don't adjust our lifestyle to fit the world's lifestyle. We adjust our lifestyle to fit God's word. And so if you're going to live this way and be right with God, it requires a lifestyle change. It requires us to make a lifestyle commitment that no matter what the world says, no matter what the dictates of the world are, we're going to live the way God says to live, and that's the only right way to live. And the reason I say that is because what's right in America could be wrong in another country. Amen? So just because our culture says it's okay, another culture may say it's not okay. So who decides? The culture? No, God. And so it doesn't matter what society or culture says. It matters what God says. And that's the choice that I will make. Amen? Proverbs 12:28 says, in the way of righteousness is life, and its pathway there is no death. If you want to experience life at its best, you have to live the way that God says to live. Amen? Not a popular message, I know. But you didn't come here to hear a popular message, I hope. I hope you came here today to hear the truth. Amen? Because that's all I can tell you is the truth. So, now that we understand a little bit about what righteousness is, how does God's plan make us right with Himself? How do we live this way? You know, it's wonderful for me to tell you, you have to make a choice. You know, live a righteous life. Well, that's wonderful. How do I do that, Pastor? And do I even have the capacity to do that? Well, let's talk about it. First of all, number one, I can't make myself righteous. You need to understand this. You can try all you want. Try to be a good person. Try the best you can. But you can never have right standing with God by your own merits alone. Amen? Never going to happen. Never going to happen. Because we're all imperfect. Amen? We all are going to make mistakes. We all are going to sin. We all are going to fall short. Amen? That's just who we are. That's our nature. And without God doing something dramatic, we'll never measure up. I don't know about you guys, but I don't even measure up to my own standards all the time. Amen? How many of you got certain standards for your life and you don't even hit those? So how in the world are we going to hit God's standards, right? They're perfect. Never going to do that. It says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. At least I haven't met him, amen, other than Jesus, but he's not on earth anymore. Right? Romans 3:20 says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. So, no matter how hard we work at it, we are never going to earn the title of being called righteous. All right? Not before God. No matter what people think of you, no matter how hard you try, you can't get there. So, here's the dilemma. Heaven is a perfect place, right? And if heaven is a perfect place, and we let sinners into heaven, then heaven will become like the earth. And every evil that's practiced in earth will be practiced in heaven if we allow sin, if God allows sin in heaven. And so that's the dilemma. So God can't allow sin in heaven because heaven is perfect and God is not going to allow heaven to be perverted through sin. So God has to have a better plan. And of course, He's God, right? God always has the better plan. God didn't get surprised in Genesis when man fell in the garden. God didn't say, oh my gosh, I wasn't expecting that. He's not surprised when man fell. God had a plan. In fact, in Ephesians, the Bible tells us that Jesus, He suffered and He died before the foundation of the world. So God's plan was in motion before He ever created anything because God knows everything and God's not surprised by anything. So when He created man, He already knew man would fall. But because He's God and knows everything, He already had a plan to deal with the fall of man. Amen? Aren't you glad we serve a great God like that, right? So number two then is, what's God's plan? Well, God sent Jesus to pay for our sins so that we could be declared righteous. This was God's plan. It's wonderful. Romans 3:23-25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Many times people stop with that scripture right there. I'm so glad that God didn't stop with His writing right there. because then we'd be almost miserable. It says being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation or as a sacrifice by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So God saw man lost in his sin, knew no way for man to ever recover himself from his sin nature. So God has a plan. He sends Jesus on our behalf to take our place and to become our sin so that we could be declared righteous. Amen? That's why Jesus came. That's why he went to the cross at Calvary, so that on the cross he could pay for your sin and my sin. And on the cross, the Bible says that the penalty for sin is death. So on the cross, Jesus died in my place for my sin, in your place for your sin. Amen? And because of that, the penalty that I should have paid, Jesus paid for me, so that I could be declared righteous now, because in reality, Jesus took my sin. I'm no longer accountable for that. So let me tell you something. A lot of times people go around saying, well, Pastor, I want you to know that I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I want to take issue with that. And here's the issue I take with that. You were an old sinner. Thank God you were saved by grace. And now you are the righteousness of God in Christ. That doesn't mean you're sinless. That doesn't mean you'll never sin again. That simply means that God has declared you righteous. He's chosen to overlook your sin because Jesus paid the penalty for it. All through the Old Testament, there is a sacrificial system set up to take the place of the sinner and to lay their sins on the animal instead of having to bear it themselves. That's how God set it up, pointing that lamb being a type of Jesus, so that when we get to this place of our life and we receive Jesus as our Lord, we get washed of our sin. There's too many believers running around in condemnation today. Right? Now, I'm not saying that when we blow it, when we sin, and you will, whether you're a child of God or not, you still live in a fallen world, right? There's still a tempter out there called Satan, the god of this world. And I would love to say that he never is going to tempt me again when I get saved, but that's not reality. Reality is you represent Jesus. If he tempted Jesus, he's going to tempt you. The difference between me and Jesus is I'm not infallible, and he is, and I'm going to fall. And I'm going to make mistakes. But I also know that because of the blood of the Lamb that I've been washed in, I have a right now to go before God and repent of my sins, and I can get washed once again in the blood of Jesus and cleansed from my sin. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and so are you. Do not walk in condemnation every time you sin. There's people that don't come back to church. There's people that walk away from God because they just feel like life is too hard and they're never going to be able to measure up. Listen, it's not me having to measure up. It's Jesus. He measured up for me. Amen? Now, I'm not saying you don't need to try it. I don't need to do my best. But the fact of the matter is, my best is never going to be good enough. So God's not waiting for me. He put it all on Jesus. Amen. And this is the difference between us and every other religion. Every other religion is based on one little word called do. If you do this, if you do that, if you do this, if you do that, then you'll be received by God. Christianity is based on done. Amen. Jesus already finished it. When he said it's finished on the cross, it's finished, right? The penalty's paid. Jesus has finished it. And we celebrate the fact that it's done. It's not based on what I do. It's based on what he's already done. Amen. And we have two basic things that we celebrate that remind us, because Jesus doesn't ever want us to forget about what he did. One is baptism. Every time we see someone baptized or we ourselves are baptized, we need to remember it's a type of us dying with Christ and being raised from the dead. It reminds us of what Jesus did for us. And every time we receive communion, that's why Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Very important word, remember. The word remember is a covenant word. And the word remember doesn't mean don't forget. The word remember means I always have you in the forefront of my thinking. You're always on my mind. It's not that I won't forget, but I can't forget because you're always there. And Jesus said, don't forget. Do this in remembrance of me. Right? Every time we celebrate communion like we're going to do today, we celebrate what Jesus did for us. We celebrate that. So why? So we don't forget that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, that we've been washed in his blood. Amen? It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, a familiar verse to many of us, for he made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? Jesus was made our sin so that we could be made righteous. Praise God. Good news to the believer. Amen? Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Once again, he said, it's not based on what I've done. It's all my salvation is based totally on what Jesus did and God's grace. Amen. God had mercy and grace. He extended it toward me and said, come, be a part of my family. I'll wash you in the blood of Jesus. It's not based on what Ralph did. It's based on what Jesus did. Right? Number three, I accept by faith what God did for me. If I'm going to walk in this lifestyle of righteousness, I need to understand I have to do it by faith. I receive everything that Jesus did based on faith, based on trust. I trust what he said. Amen? That's all I have to do. I don't have to try to keep all the law. I don't have to try to dot all the I's or cross all the T's. I simply got to say, Jesus, thank you for what you did for me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Amen. Romans 3, 21 through 22. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. Amen. All it takes is belief. Many people today struggle with this. They think that they've got to do something to earn this. And really, all we have to do is accept it. Because the fact of the matter is, without Jesus, I was a sinner. Without Jesus, I could in no way, shape, form, or fashion have heaven as my home. Wasn't going to happen. I wasn't even headed that direction. I was hard and fast on my way to hell. But Jesus, like Paul, interrupted me on my journey. Amen? And I had a Damascus experience, and so did you. It may not have been as dramatic as Paul's, but we had one where Jesus got our attention. Amen. And when he got our attention, he revealed to us his love for us and how much he did for us. And he just said, I'm only asking one thing from you. Just believe it. Just believe it and receive it. Amen. And that's what we need to do to receive our salvation, not based on our merit, based on what Jesus did. And that's why it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, this is so important, the believing part. A lot of times people will come up and answer an altar call and they'll stand up here and they'll say, you know, pastor will say, hey, repeat these words after me, and they'll repeat those words. But listen, if there's no believing in the heart, the words themselves cannot save you. It's the believing in your heart that's so critical and so important. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. See, we're born in this world with a sin nature. That's our nature, to sin. Happened in the garden when Adam fell. Sin nature was introduced to the world. And as we live this life apart from Jesus, we are bound to live and follow the nature that we have, which is our sin nature. But Jesus interrupted us on the way to hell. And he saved us, praise God. And he didn't just save us, he gave us a new nature. And now I have the nature of Christ in me, amen? Now I'm a child of God. I have a new nature. And my new nature now puts me on a path that's not going to hell anymore. It puts me on a path toward heaven. And on that path toward heaven, I'm doing everything I can, and so should you be doing, to get as many people off the path on their way to hell to the path on their way to heaven. And the way we do it is not by condemning their lifestyle. The way we do it is by showing people how much God loves them and what he's done for them. Amen? So, how then, number three, how do I stay spiritually hungry? How do I stay spiritually hungry? Well, number one, I need to remind myself how much God loves me. You know, once I understand that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and I said that this is a lifestyle, the Bible said, if you hunger and you thirst to live that lifestyle, you'll be satisfied. Amen. If you want to be satisfied in life, you got to be hungry for this. And it starts with understanding that God loves you. When I understand how much God loves me, something happens to me. The more I understand how much God loves me, the more my love for God increases. Amen. You've got to love God. That's why Ephesians 3:18 and 19 says that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, when you understand that God loves you because he chose to, he doesn't love you because you earned it. And he doesn't continue to love you because you think you merit his love. He loves you because he chose to love you. Amen? It's an unconditional love, not based at all on my ability to prove myself to him. It's based solely and completely on the fact that he made the decision, Ralph, I love you. And he demonstrates it every single day. And the more he demonstrates his love for me, the greater my love grows for him. Amen? And that's how you stay. That's one way that you will stay hungry. The second way, if you want to stay spiritual hungry, is stop filling up on junk food. Amen? Stop filling up on junk food. As a Christ follower, you are going to are a spiritual being. You have a heart for God, and he is the only one that can fill it. Amen? We live in a world that has a lot of pools. And there's a lot of things that are going to vie for your heart's attention. And I can tell you that the Bible says wherever a man's heart is, or that's where his treasure is going to be. So where are your treasures in life? Where your treasures are, your heart's going to gravitate to those. If God's not the treasure of your life, somebody else or something else is going to be. I don't have time to get in this today, but let me just say this to you. You are created in the image and likeness of God. And because of that, God is a worshiping God. And because of that, you're a worshiping being. You're created to worship. You will worship something. You're either going to be worshiping God, or you're going to worship your job, or you're going to worship sports, or you're going to worship something. Some people today will be worshiping the Warriors. I'm just rooting for them, amen? But there's worshipers out there that will compromise everything that is right in order to do what they feel deserves their worship. That's called idol worship. Amen? Proverbs 15:14 says, a wise person is hungry for truth while a fool feeds on trash. Amen? Well, what's trash? Anything that pulls you away from God. Anything that becomes more important to you than him. That's junk food. Amen? Be careful of the junk food that's out there today. And there's a lot of it. Amen? So if you're not always thinking about God, you'll be always thinking about something else. Something important to think about. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me. You will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. If you feed on the things that God says are important, your spirit will be satisfied. Today, we want to satisfy our soul and flesh before we satisfy our spirit. Don't let that be the case in your life. Amen. Number three, make knowing God your number one goal in life. Make knowing Him your number one goal in life, not success, not other things. Make knowing God. Paul said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Amen. And the fellowship of His suffering. To know God, there's going to be some suffering that goes with it, but you've got to be willing to pay the price to get to know Him. Psalm 63:1, Oh God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Amen. Let me tell you, if you've ever been out in a desert place, you know, one of the things you're going to do is you're going to get thirsty. Amen. Doesn't even have to be a desert place. It just has to be Tracy in the summer. If you hang outside in the summer in Tracy, yesterday I was packing up some things at the house, my shop, and another shed I had. And let me tell you what, it was hot out there yesterday. And just moving around, and I got thirsty, man. Every time I did, I'm finding myself drinking and drinking and drinking, trying to quench the thirst. Well, let me tell you what, when you're thirsty, there's a lot of things you can drink. So what are you drinking when you're spiritually thirsty? Are you drinking spiritual food? Or are you going after other things to try to satisfy that thirst? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else gets added to you. And then number four, quickly, get into God's word every day. You got to feed on the word of God. You got to be like a newborn babe. You got to crave God's word. Amen. Do it every day. You can't afford not to have the word of God. It's your spiritual sustenance. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. You need to feed on God's word. It's where you're going to get spiritual sustenance and nourishment. And then number five, this one's very important. Appetite is influenced by association. Appetite is influenced by association. What you choose to feed on depends a lot about who you're hanging around. Amen. You hang around certain people, you're going to be hungry for what they're hungry for. Happens. Let me just say this to you. You should have known that this was going to come out today. But that is, if you're not in a small group, you're not hanging around the right people. Amen. You need to get in a small group so you can hang around some people who are hungry. Amen. Hungry. Those are the people that go to small group that are clapping. Amen. But you need to get involved in a small group because that's where hungry people are. And those people are going to stir your appetite to want more of God, more of Jesus in your life. Amen. You hang around the wrong people. If you've ever had children, how long does it take you to figure out who your kids were hanging around with that day? Right? They come home, in 2 minutes, you already know you were hanging around so-and-so today, weren't you? How did you know? Because I got spies all over? No. Because I know your attitude. You take on the attitude of who you hang with, and that's what we do. If all you hang around is people that are politicians or people that are wanting other things in life, that's where your hungers are going to be. I want to hang around people who are hungering and thirsting for God. Amen? Because that's where I'm going to be passionate. So follow the steps of good men instead, and stay on the path of righteousness. Praise God. Hang out with people who want to hang out with God. Amen. And you'll be blessed. Praise God. Father, thank You for Your word today. We are so grateful and appreciative of Your word. We're thankful, Father God, for Your heart today to tell us the truth, because the truth is that we know is the truth that makes us free. And today we want to walk in the liberty and the freedom of that truth so that we can help others, so that we can honor You, Father God, with all that we do. And we give You the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.